everybody, to a very special episode of The Best Little Horde House in Azeroth. It's that World of Warcraft podcast where we talk about, of course, the World of Warcraft, but not too seriously. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me, as always, as he has for 10 very long weeks, say hello to Extifer.
Hello!
Hey, Extifer, how are you doing?
I'm fine, and you? I'm so old!
I'm
after
great.
10 episodes!
I feel young and vibrant and full of life, even though we are turning 10 this week. 10 weeks. A very special 10 episode.
You're also a batch.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. No, joining us tonight, a very special guest making his second appearance on the show. Say hello to, and of course, what better guest for this very special 10th episode of Horde House? Say hello to our number one fan, Flacco Jones.
Hey, everybody. I'm back with better audio, hopefully.
Hopefully. I don't know. Audio has been a little weird tonight, so I apologize in advance. Skype's kind of whatever. So how are you doing, Flacco Jones?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I am great, although I'm a little sad because I heard for our episode tonight you had prepped a special little segment and we couldn't get it to work on the technical side of things.
It was my personal top 10 favorite moments from the show.
From the first 10 episodes, it would have been outstanding.
From the first, well, I guess the first 9 technically, but
true.
But still, it would have been really cool, and it was really cool. And I suck now.
You should. Like, say what they are, and then we could do our best to reenact them.
Not all 10.
I could say what they are, but I don't think we want to reenact them.
All right, well, we'll post them to Twitter later. It'll get give people incentive to follow us on Twitter. So twitter.com/hordehouse. And all our tweets are public. So even if you're like, I hate Twitter, then you can at least find the stuff there. So that's fine. So
cool.
You did a weird voice there. You're like, I hate Twitter.
You did a weird voice in the beginning. Whatever.
You know what?
No one care. Okay. I thought before we get into the usual start of the show, which is how was your week in Azeroth, we could maybe like reintroduce our characters a little bit and what we do in Warcraft and what we play. Because, you know, we've had a few new listeners in the past few weeks, thanks to, you know, the features on WoW Insider and iTunes and so forth. So, Extifer, what characters do you play and what do you get out of playing WoW quickly?
I play quickly. Oh my god, I'm rushed.
Well, if you really want to hear it, you can go back to episode 1.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I play a druid, a resto druid, and a balanced druid. I used to play a feral druid, but I have moved on since then. And I also have an 80 hunter and an 80 rogue that I haven't leveled to 85 yet. And I'm also working on a mage, and I'm working on a warrior. So there you go.
I think it's great that you used to play a feral, and feral is actually like an integral part of the character that you play, name-wise. And it's you don't actually have feral. So it's like in PvP, even though you hate PvP and you never play it, you'd be fooling everybody.
I would be. You know, it's funny because everybody asks, well, they don't ask anymore. They're used to it. But, you know,
can you tank this?
Yeah. Well, no. If I was in invited to a new guild or whatever, and they're like, I've even had people yell because I rolled on a resto piece over a, you know, a feral piece or whatever. And they're like, but he's not even resto and stuff like that. And, you know. It's funny. It hasn't happened in a long time, but I mean, that's when good. I first went to Winterhoof, which is my current server home, it was kind of amusing.
Well, it is a little bit like rolling a warlock and naming him Hunter, you know?
Yeah.
Or actually, exactly. I have my worgen that I've never played, but I rolled it, is a level 1 warlock named Scooby Doid. Because Rice Princess,
that'd be a really good name for a worgen druid now.
Rice Princess thought that was a hilarious name, was to call a worgen Scooby Doid. But I didn't want to play another druid. I already have an 80 druid on another server, so I want to play a warlock.
Let's get the story right. It was your idea to do Scooby Doid. It was Rice Princess's idea to do a Nancy druid.
Correct. It
See?
Was. It was.
Yeah. So there we go. And then you came up with Scooby Doid for whatever odd reason, and we laughed at you.
Yeah, I just made a druid named Pappy Druid.
And anybody that used to watch Nick Jr. would be able to get that.
All right, so my character, I have an 85 Holy Paladin who technically is a Rhett as well, but I really only do that when I solo. And so that's my main dwarf. I'm on Alliance, and Extifer's on Horde. I know the show is called Horde House, but I actually play Alliance in a casual raiding guild, meaning we actually aren't raiding right now. But yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with the Holy Pally. That's what I've been playing for the past couple years. Though I do have an 80 Tauren Druid on Extifer's server that I used a lot more during Burning Crusade and in the early days of Wrath. And then I have an 80 Warrior who's kind of collecting dust. Like, I really need to go. She's Alliance as well, a human. And I really need to go level her to 85. But I don't know. I didn't have that same love for my Warrior that I have for my Paladin. And leveling my Warrior to 85 at this point is kind of like cleaning the closet or something. You're like, oh, God, I really got to clean the closet. But, you know, if I don't do it today, it's okay. It's just the closet, and nobody sees that. So that's kind of how I feel about leveling my Warrior. But I'll get back to her some.
Well, I'm kind of in that phase where I want to level the other characters, but I find myself, like, kind of stuck to my druid at the moment, because, you know, every single time I log in, there's like stuff to do. I either have to go grind
or raid every single night on your server,
or raid, you know, or you know, do dungeons or whatever. And so I kind of pushed my my alts to the side. We just got the heirloom cloaks in our guild.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
And yeah, and I haven't been able to use it yet, because every single time I log in, I'm like, oh yeah, I need to farm some herbs because I need to get some flasks. So it's kind of annoying in that.
That's point. Hilarious, because your sister, let's call her Britta, has already purchased that heirloom cloak.
I know.
She's already using it.
Now I kind of want to get that heirloom cloak for when I level to 85. It's a 1 to 85 cloak, right?
Yeah.
Because the nice thing is, being an Extifer's guild, and they're like such like hardcore raiders, but like we're like leeching onto that as being the friends of the raiders. It's great, because when I do decide to go play over there, I'll get all the XP boost and the Hasty Hearth and everything they've worked so hard to earn for me.
I know. You'll be you know, hooked up.
I have to admit, I actually want to level my druid kind of like before I want to do my warrior.
Oh, really?
I do. I don't know why. So, I miss druid.
What do you think you're going to level as, though, with your druid?
I love healing, and it's what I do. I feel like I should go resto, but I don't know. I do miss Boomkin a little bit. So I feel like it would be easier to solo as Boomkin, and that's what she spec'd for anyway, is resto and Boomkin, because that's what she was during Burning Crusade. Well, she was Boomkin up until dual spec. Whenever dual spec came out is when I added the resto spec, which I ended up playing more. But anyway, I guess I would probably kind of do what I'm doing on my Pally and do Boomkin just to kind of level, and then probably do dungeons and stuff as resto, because that's what I enjoy.
You know, the beauty of Boomkin right now is that they can fully utilize all the gear that you use for your resto set. I mean, with a few exceptions.
Yeah, I know, because Alan plays a resto druid, and a boomkin is his primary, resto druid is secondary, and he's always rolling on the same stuff I want on my paladin when it comes to like cloaks and necklaces and trinkets.
Yeah,
and in fact, I actually won a trinket in a heroic the other night that he wanted, and you know, you have that moment of guilt, but then you're actually like, oh, but I'm actually really happy I got this trinket. So
yeah,
there you go.
Exactly. You have to look out for your character's best interest.
Exactly. Jim, what characters are you playing these days?
Oh, right now I'm on, of course, my new account that I created when they made that big sale. So I started a, what did they make first? I mean, Undead Hunter, which I loved, and because I loved, you know, role playing and getting like weird little pets that fit with the Undead Hunter. And then I went on your server for a little while, played an Alliance, a Draenei Mage, Frost Mage, got that to 60. And I actually really enjoyed Frost Mage. I wouldn't say I totally enjoyed Alliance, but it wasn't the worst thing either. But I liked playing Frost Mage a lot. I played a Frost Mage before, but it's changed a lot since I last played one.
I sometimes feel like one of the taglines in trying to get people to join my guild would be like, Alliance, it's not that bad.
It wasn't that.
Do you know how many people?
It really
was. Do you know how many people on Facebook, like, they go, "Oh, what server do you play on?" And I go, "Oh, I play over here, and I'm on the Alliance faction." They're like, "Oh, I'd play with you, but you're Alliance." And I'm like, "It's not that bad. It's the people that you play with that make it. You know what I mean?"
Yeah, and what's you know the Blasted Lands quests, for one example, I think were a lot better for Alliance than they were for Horde. Mm-hmm. That's just the last thing I remember because it's the last zone I kind of did. But I mean, it was better as Alliance than it was as Horde. So and plus, I got the neat butt and Willem McKittrick.
Dwarves, we are amazing. Just saying.
Yeah. You know what's so funny is I've noticed like in a lot of the world first videos or. Not videos, but pictures.
Ding dong.
Before. Sorry, there must be someone at my door.
Let's see who's visiting.
I'm going to mute myself. Be right back.
I am your singing telegram. Yeah. I was going to say, though, the pictures that I've seen of these kills, you know, these heroic kills on from these guilds that are Alliance, it's like, it seems like 75% of them are Worgen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because, like, you go to my guild and, like, 75% of my guild is Blood Elf. So it's just kind of, like,
well,
funny,
since I
you know?
Started playing WoW during like, Burning Crusade when BC first came out was when I take that back. I started playing WoW during Vanilla, but I didn't really, like, enjoy WoW until Burning Crusade came out, and everybody was a freaking Blood Elf because our server was at that time. I used to play on Ravencrest, and that server was brand new when Burning Crusade launched, and it was like 75% Blood Elf when it first started, at least. So being like a Tauren female, which I was at the time on that server, I was a unicorn. Seriously.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, I'm always the unicorns especially... on the side because I'm a dwarf female now, and nobody plays that either.
I feel like that often with my character, you know, especially now that trolls can be druids. Mm-hmm. I feel like that special, you know, person that, you know, nobody plays. But that's okay because I'm kind of tired of seeing all of the Blood Elves around and all of the, you know, people, the new flashy things. You don't see still a lot of, like, goblins. At least in my guild, you don't. And I'm, like, trying to push that onto people. Like, I'm trying to say, you know, hey, you know, you might want to do Goblin because you get that hasty buff. And, you know, that nobody listens to me.
They have amazing racials. Like, every time I'm watching my wife play her Goblin, I'm just like, wait, you can do that too? Like, they have a damage spell. They have a boost. They have a portable bank. I just can't believe how much stuff they have.
Yeah, and that's why they're buffing all the, you know, at least all the Alliance racials, because I guess Horde racials are okay, apparently.
Apparently.
Well, you have to admit, War Stomp in your little other forms is actually pretty cool, as you were talking about last week.
That's cool.
So,
yeah,
it's like one race class combination.
Yeah, it's cool for bears and kitties, I guess, but, I mean, Balance and Resto, you know, we've always had that, but the fact that they didn't buff any of the Horde just says that they did more for DPS increases on the Horde side than they have Alliance, I guess, in a way. So, I don't know.
Well, let's get to our weeks in Azeroth and talk about what we have been doing in the world of Warcraft this week. What's new and exciting. So, Exfer, we'll start with you.
Okay. So I have been doing exactly what I did last week, which is farm a bunch of herbs. I'm trying to work on my trinket for the Dark Moon Fair. And it's now I'm up to 6 cards, I believe. So I just need 2 more. Actually, no, I lied. I need 3 more. I have 5 cards. So I'm just trying to work on that. Otherwise, I did play on my goblin, my mage over the weekend. Ooh. And I have almost got out of the starting area on my goblin mage. So I didn't actually, in retrospect, play that much, but I did play enough to see most of the area. So I really enjoyed it. I remember enjoying it in beta, so I'm enjoying it all over again, kind of at a slow pace, I guess, if you will. And I have all the heirlooms on me, so really there's no excuse. But that has been my week.
Seriously, you should be like level 29 by now, at least.
I know.
Totally.
We downed 2 more bosses in the raids. We downed the blind boss, which is Atromedes, and which is a really fun fight, except for the fact that I fucking keep dying with, like, before the group kills him, and it's usually really well before the group kills him, so I feel like I'm not a good player during that fight. And then we killed this really interesting boss called Chimeron or whatever. He's this three-headed dragon that you fight, and he's an incredibly healing intense fight. So we had to have four healers. And
holy moly.
Oh gosh, it is so amazingly crazy.
When you say healing intensive, do you mean like Velithria Dreamwalker was in ICC, which was the fight where you actually won by healing the boss?
No,
the mechanic. No, it's not like that.
This is like actually healing your raid, but there's a mechanic to this boss where he puts this or he will puts this debuff on you. Or actually, it's this buff from this NPC where you cannot go below one health. You can only get healed over like 10k. I'm probably botching this whole description up, but anyways, it's kind of complicated. And your raid most of the time is at one health, 1 to 10k health. So your healing bars are always really low. And there's one point where that debuff goes away, so you can actually die, and you all have to stack up, and everybody has to put all of their healing like things on them, you know, like healing rain or efflorescence or holy radiance, so that you can top everybody off before he does this big AE damage thing. So
weird.
It's like, and it switches back to these two phases, and then the third phase is that all of your health bars just stay. And you can't heal anymore. Your healing is reduced by 99.9% or something like that. And now it's like the burn phase, but he will focus on one person at a time, and that person has to run away from him as he moves towards them. And most likely they're going to die because he's eventually going to catch up and kill them. So it's like you have to kill him before he kills everybody in the raid. So it's actually pretty interesting.
Sounds like a fun fight.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was really different. And I think between the blind boss and this boss, I think both of those are my favorite fights so far.
How much yelling happened on Ventrilo while you guys were fighting that boss?
You know, surprisingly, not a lot. We actually took him down after three attempts. We figured that we did need an extra healer. So we have, you know, we have a shaman in our group that switches between elemental and healing, and he was able to switch to healing. So we actually didn't have too much of a problem on that fight. I think the biggest problem we've had this far has been a boss named Meloriac. And we just had DPS problems on him. But otherwise, I mean, it hasn't been incredibly hard. Atromedes, which is the blind boss, that gave us a little bit of a problem. But yeah.
Well, congrats on all the raid accomplishments. Boy, oh boy.
Oh, thank you.
I set foot in Barad-dûr Hold this week and just looked inside, and then I had to leave. Because I was in a party of two.
Aww. But I went to see
what it That's always like. A fun raid.
You know what's funny is one of our friends actually downed the Lich King on hard mode 25 over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And it was his first time ever fighting the Lich King. And at 85, apparently, it's like really crazy easy.
Oh,
so
sure.
He got his Light of Dawn title the first time he went to the Lich King.
Nice.
So I thought that was pretty funny.
I bet there's a lot of people, though. I mean, you know, you kind of take that stuff for granted when you're doing the raids all the time, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that never got to see the Lich King just because they're in a more casual guild, or maybe they just skipped Wrath and they're coming back for Cataclysm.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that probably want to go roll through that. I mean, my guild, even though, you know, we weren't quite as hardcore on the raiding, we did finally get to the Lich King at the very, very, very end of the expansion and, you know, beat him. I don't know if they want to all go back to ICC anytime soon, but I think there's probably that desire that, you know, when it's Raffle Stomp Face Rolly, we'll go back and do it on Heroic at least just to get the title and all this stuff. So,
yeah, I think it's actually it would make it even better, like more fun when you don't have to worry about the so much about the mechanics and everything.
What
you
is
know,
the title on 10 man heroic?
The title on 10 man heroic is Bane of the Fallen King, and the 25 man is Light of Dawn, and the cool thing about it is I went in there actually just for fun last night after I heard about this, just to see how much my health was, you know, in, because you still have the 30% buff.
Oh, wow.
in there. So my health was, after putting Mark of the Wild on me, I was at 150K health.
That's wow. funny.
So, yeah.
They should.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
They should probably think about getting rid of that buff. Maybe they don't want to because not everybody has Cataclysm. There's still some people that are kind of stuck at 80, you know?
Yeah, and it's turned into one of those farming things where I think that they did that for a reason because, you know, they took away the 100% chance to get that mount if you did the hard mode. Ah. So it only has a chance to drop mm-hmm. now. So you can go back in and just keep farming it now, just like, you know, you would with Onyxia or any of those other boss fights that you know, give you a mount.
Hmm, interesting. So,
yeah.
I learned something.
Now you know.
The more you know. All right. Flacco Jones, how has your week in Azeroth been?
Well, I've started another new character now.
Another one? What is this, like your 27th character?
I don't even know. I don't have the list. I think I left it at Extra's apartment. But I made a Blood Elf Warrior because this is what I originally wanted to make when they came out with Blood Elves, but then they didn't let them have warriors. Mm-hmm. So I was always like, you know, eventually I'll make a Blood Elf Warrior. Well, now that I have this recruit a friend account thing, I wanted to start this so it'd be really quick. And I really like it. And I think this is the one I'm going to stick with. I think I want to get the expansion and take the Warrior to 85 because I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I really like the way that the Blood Elf, I do have to admit, you know, for all the crap that I say about Blood Elves,
no.
I really love their melee combat with one-handers, or I'm sorry, two-handers. I think that the whole little thing where you pass the weapon behind your back, I really like that. I think it's actually pretty cool looking.
Do you think it's sexy?
I do think it's sexy.
Well, I use a one-hander and a shield, so too bad.
Do you use a one-hander when you think about the two-handers?
I think Christopher or Extrover does.
I love two-handing my weapon.
All right. Anything else?
So I've got that character at the 30 now, and yeah, I'm really contemplating getting the expansion probably next month or because I still got to get to 80 first, so I'm just going to wait a while.
I love manhandling my weapon and penetrating my foes with my big weapon.
And that's it for my week in Azeroth.
Hopefully that's it from Extrafer. My week in Azeroth has, you know, it's been just like a lot of like random stuff. I actually acquired a full PvP set because I had a bunch of gold. So I thought, what the hell? I'll just buy like an entire crafted set for Holy Pallies because I'm actually a blacksmith. I could have made it myself, but I'm really lazy. So I bought the whole damn set, the ornate Pyrium or whatever it's called. Bought the whole damn thing.
You have a lot of gold.
Okay, I don't have. I'm not like rolling in gold, but I don't have anything else to buy. I don't raid right now. I'm not going through flasks like crazy. I have like just 6K kind of lying around. Like I wish I could have said that during Wrath. I was always broke during Wrath, but I'm doing dailies. That's the other thing. I do my dailies. Like I finally got to the place where I unlocked the Therizane as a faction, mm-hmm. which you do by questing in Deep Home. And Therizane is basically Ursula from The Little Mermaid, but in rock form.
Yeah.
And she's incredibly fierce. And she's great. I like her because she's kind of like, what does she say? I don't want to spoil things, but I'm going to. At the very end of the quest line, she basically tells like the Earthen Ring to like get the fuck out, basically. And she's like, you could do my gift to you is that I will let you stay alive. Now get out of here. Something like that. And I'm just like, oh, go ahead. Go ahead. You tell him. Tell him. This is your house. You tell him to get the fuck out.
Is she a black woman?
I guess in my head. So I like her. She's great. And yeah, I've been questing with Tol'Barad because on my server happens to tip towards the Alliance where we have it pretty much all the time. Even though the Horde will manage to get it once in a while, but we take it back. Haha. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of the dailies there and got not exalted but revered with that faction. Got revered with my guild, which is exciting because that got the reputation banner. Or no, I'm sorry. We got the reputation achievement, and then mm-hmm. we got the banner thing from beating every heroic. We did that this week. We finally beat every heroic. And the last one we had to do last night was Stone Core heroic, which, oh my God, was one of the worst. That is, I think, one of the hardest heroics. I actually think Dead Mines is as hard as Stone Core was. I mean, the Foe Reaper is the hardest boss in Dead Mines, I think, on heroic. Mm-hmm. But that's...
You really think so?
I think so.
I thought that Rip Snarl was the hardest one.
No, what? Rip Snarl only took us like two tries. He wasn't that bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
yeah, I thought Rip Snarl was harder than the Fell Reaper.
And Vanessa Van Queef, as the guild calls her, was not too terrible. But she's I thought it was a neat mechanic. And for those that haven't done Heroic Dead Mines yet, you basically, when Vanessa Van Queef comes out, she kind of puts you into this nightmare, and you have to go through and refight all the bosses again. But she says this very, like, sassy thing about, like, each boss and, like, how they died. And it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like riding on the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland or something.
Yeah, and there's a Super Mario stage. And
that part was kind of bullshit. Yeah. Like, I think it's cool that Blizzard is trying to do a little more platforming. Like, it kind of takes me back to the days where you had to jump across the hole in Wailing Caverns. Like, it's like, when did we get all platforming and shit? But, like, that mechanic kind of came out of nowhere for me. And at that point, after the Foe Reaper boss... was kind of annoying. Like, I just want to finish this fucking place. Give me the achievement. Give me my loot. I want to be done. You know, I like it now in retrospect, but it was just at that time. Oh my God, stop.
I just ran Dead Mines for the first time, the new one. But so, and of course she wasn't at the end. So she's only at the end of Heroic now, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought that was so weird. I wasn't expecting that. We fought Cookie. It's, and then the quest givers kind of tell you that though. So I'm like, oh, okay. So, we'll be back at 85.
She leaves a note on the ground, and that starts the whole thing in her own.
Oh, okay.
You don't see that in regular.
I see.
And the CSI guys don't come out.
Kind of that you end the fight on Cookie, you know, in normal. Like,
yeah.
It's so anticlimactic, you know, like, it's like, okay, we fought this Worgen boss, and now here's the little Murloc that's going to throw food at you.
Well, that's...
Well, it was a little creepy, though, because it's like, what's that there in the shadows? And you look like... Oh my gosh, what is that? And then he runs out and like, oh, it's Cookie.
Well, that's kind of what happened before. You would kill Ed Van Cleef or whatever, and then you would jump down on the boat and get Cookie. Was always really last, even though the achievement and the lore or whatever is Van Cleef is the last boss. So
Rob, what is your favorite heroic now that you've seen them all?
My favorite heroic now that I've seen them all, like to play, to look at, like
To play, I mean, like all of the above.
To play, I think I really liked, this might surprise you, I think I really like Shadowfang Keep. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I thought the bosses were all challenging, but not like OMG impossible. And I don't know, I kind of had a lot of love for that place in the original. Wow. So... I was really happy to see
but
it come back.
But it's so different now.
I'm okay with that.
There's no Worgen in it, which is like...
It was the same game for 5 years, so I'm okay that they made some changes, you know?
Well, the one thing that's interesting that really kind of made me think was like... So they wanted to re-release these as new heroics and everything because everybody loved them so much. But then they changed every single thing about them, including the last boss and all that. So I just don't really get it. I mean, I like the new Shadowfang, but I like the old one better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. I think that my favorite heroic is probably, and I do love Dead Mines. I mean, it's probably one of my favorite new ones. Like, it's funny because they did the remake of those two heroics, but I actually prefer the new Dead Mines to the old, and I prefer the old Shadow Thing to the new. Mm. I really like Halls of Origination.
You know, if you had asked me what was my favorite like design and ambience heroic, I would have said Halls of Origination. I think it's got some of the coolest boss mechanics. For me, though, like the whole four bosses at the end thing, while that's cool for rewards and stuff, it just makes that place a little bit long.
Well, it makes it long, but it's like a mini raid. You know what I mean? Like it's like
but raids aren't supposed to be that long anymore.
I know, but I mean, it feels like there's more substance to that instance than a lot of the other instances. You know what I mean? Like there's just so much work that went into it, and that's what I like about it. But you know what? The best part about that instance is that you can skip to the last boss without doing a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that big a deal because you don't have to fight the you know, big fiery skeleton guy with the camels. You don't have to fight him. You don't have to fight the other guy. You can just skip all the way to the top floor.
I guess that's true. Actually, you know what though? My favorite boss in the whole place, I don't know why, is the very first one. I love that whole like little music shield he does, and the little like sound it makes, and just the whole ambiance of that fight is just awesome. I don't know why. That's like one of my favorite fights.
We just finished all the hard modes, or hard modes, all of the achievements in there. I did it with my guild. There's a lot of people in my guild that did all of the achievements for all of the dungeons at the moment, and I haven't yet. So it was actually kind of cool to see the what effort goes into these achievements, you know. And they're pretty tough. I mean, I was kind of surprised they make the hard heroics even harder.
I'm not even thinking achievements yet. I mean, we got a few just out of the blue. Like, I think I got one on Cookie and some other stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, as far as Stone Core was concerned, especially, like, and the only thing that made Stone Core hell was the giant boss. That giant boss.
Oh yeah.
I'm not exaggerating, Xfer. It took us 15 tries to get that boss down. It was
that boss
crazy.
Is. You know, it's funny because I didn't actually. Come in when my guild was progressing, I guess, through that boss, I should say. Mm-hmm. I actually went in on a run where everybody else had done it before, so I didn't actually experience that, you know, tug of war with that boss. I actually, we downed it right away, and I was just like, everybody seems to have a problem with this boss or whatever, but they apparently had all kinds of problems with him before I even saw him.
For the people that haven't fought him, let me try to explain what makes the giant boss extremely hard is that it's really about the tank positioning for one, and the melee have to kind of run in and out. You have to dance basically a little bit. You have to, you know, turn the giant a certain way. You have to run out when he's about to do a certain talent and so on. But even like me as a healer, and especially as a pally healer, there's a big mechanic in the fight that made it really hard, and that is the paralyze that he does. Every few seconds he'll do this paralyze where he paralyzes everybody in your group. And the only way that you can break paralyze is by taking damage. But if you're not the tank, the only way you're going to take damage is if you use the reflect spell the boss casts on himself to reflect a dot back on yourself. Right. Super easy for warlocks, druids, mages. You know, they all have dots. Paladins, we don't really have dot attacks.
Yeah.
So the one thing that they kind of give you is that if you do a melee attack, you get like a little 3-second buff, and a judgment for whatever reason counts as a melee attack. But you have to time that judgment just right or you will get paralyzed. And of course, you can bubble yourself out of it once, but it'll happen like 5 times during the fight, depending on how fast your DPS is. Finally, I got the timing down, and I got to say thank you to Wowhead and the commenters on there, because the way you do it is he says this little spiel. Every time he's about to do the paralyze, he does this whole, I feel the earth move or something, and then feel.
Under my feet. Yeah.
I feel the sky tumbling down. The word is feel. That's all I hear in my head is feel my wrath or something. And you always judge on the word feel. And if you judge on the word feel, that thing will never be a problem.
Rob, sometimes your voice sounds like digitized. I don't know. Does it sound like that to you, Jim?
I have heard that a little bit. It sounds a little robotic.
It's probably a Skype thing, but since the recording's on my end, it's okay. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I just have no idea what you're talking about.
But when I guess if nobody can hear it though on the recording right now, it was like when you said move, it was like move. It was like kind of like
I didn't hear it on that one. I heard it earlier.
Maybe I actually did that with my voice and you just don't know.
He moved you, Christopher.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
I told you I don't want to get exalted with your faction. Okay. Right. I do not even want to get revered with you, okay?
How about friendly?
Well, we can get a little friendly sometimes. Guys help each other out, right?
All right. I guess otherwise I don't know what else to say about my week at Azeroth. You know, just trying to raise the reputations, not the one with Extrafer, but with all the different, you know, factions that are out there. Ramkahan and all that stuff. And that's really it. That's my week in WoW. Tol Barad dailies. As I always say, Tol Barad. It's not right. Tol Barad.
When you go back on the Horde server, you should do Tol Barad with Ferrari.
I should. Yeah, I should. That'd be fun. Should.
we always have told Barad. Well, I mean, I guess it's a toss-up because it's so odd the mechanics to told Barad are right now. So, there's a chance we don't have it, but most of the time we do.
All right. So that's it for our weeks in Azeroth. Let's get into the news because there was a crap ton of it. We've been talking heroics tonight, and I know that's got to be in the news, right?
Yeah, it is in the news. They updated the patch notes for 4.0.6. I still think that 4.0.6 is probably coming out, if not next Tuesday, the following Tuesday. I don't think that there's a ton of stuff that's like game changing, you know, that that's going to make it delayed any further. What they have done is they did nerf a lot of heroics. The Stone Core, which is kind of funny because you said that you thought that was the hardest one.
It'll be easy, but it was a pain. Yeah.
Well, on that boss you were talking about, they're actually going to have a visual on the ground for how so people can know how far they can run to, you know, get out of that damaging spell or whatever.
Well, sure,
you cast.
Now they're going to make it easy.
Yeah, they're going to nerf the Drake boss, which I thought was kind of weird. They're only going to make him fly up. He'll have longer ground phases, I guess. So there you go for that one. I didn't think that fight was very hard, but apparently it was for people. The first boss is going to throw less rocks on you, I guess. The last boss, which I think this is really good because as a healer, I really did not like the last boss to this fight because it seemed like the tank never could pick up enough of those adds that run out, you know. That don't get killed by the little area of effect things on the ground. Now they're going to die faster from those things on the ground. So that's really good to know. There's a ton of other stuff they're doing in other instances. You can always read the patch notes on their PTR server, like on the forums and stuff. There's tons of retuning going on. Among other things, there's a lot of new new things coming to professions and retuning going on to classes, and they've even added more than what I was mentioning last week. So it's kind of a good read. I think that they're getting things right as they go along. More on the heroic difficulties of dungeons, Ghostcrawler actually posted again, as if we haven't heard him enough talking about heroic difficulty in dungeons. But there's been a huge outcry from the forums, obviously, and people are discouraged enough to make these developers want to defend their developing, you know, abilities. So came out with this huge post. It was longer than usual on how Blizzard feels about heroic difficulties and their philosophy regarding, you know, how heroics are going to hold up in the future with future patches and how raids are. They mentioned something kind of interesting with Wrath of the Lich King, which was they weren't very happy with how the Trial of the Champions kind of like outshined Ulduar. You know, everybody went from Ulduar to Trial of the Champions right after that patch hit, you know, and so nobody really paid attention to Ulduar anymore. It became, you know, old. So they don't want people to have that same feeling, you know, in future patches. You know, they don't want you to have to feel like you're grinding like you were if you needed gear from Naxxramas, you know, or just grinding achievements. They want it to feel still fresh. So I believe they're probably going to tune dungeons a little bit less of it won't be such a huge jump from patch to patch like they've done before.
I'd be curious to know like how they're gonna kind of stop that, because your gear's supposed to kind of get better with every little patch. That's what gives you the incentive to run the new shit in the first place. But if maybe it's just a couple item levels higher or something, maybe it won't be as big of a deal. I don't know. But back up for a minute. Do you think the QQ over the heroics is reasonable, or do you think people need to just shut up and play?
I think people need to chill out. I mean, there are some hard things, but you know what? It takes practice. And these things aren't easy at first, but they get easy if you understand them, you know, and if you work as a team with your group, then you can get through them. You know, there are pugs that prevail in these situations, and they do move forward. You know, I think that a lot of this is coming from that Wrath Baby mentality of, hey, you know, I want to be able to steamroll through these. I don't want to have to pay attention. You know, we easily forget that when Wrath content originally came out, it wasn't quite as easy as it was after, you know, all of the patches came out. Sure, it was easier than Burning Crusade heroics. Sure, it was easier than the heroics that we have today, but it still was challenging. I mean, you still had to know kind of what to do. So I think people need to chill out. They need to understand that this is a learning curve that they need to, you know, get on board with. And if they don't like it, then they can leave. But I mean, it's really kind of stupid, I think, especially it's going to be stupid after they roll these nerfs out to make them easier for people to keep complaining, you know, and people are still complaining even after they release these patches.
Here's the thing. I'm kind of torn on the issue because I think heroics, like the difficulty level heroics, is fine for me right now. Like, even though it took us whatever 15 tries to get that boss, that's fine. I'm totally fine with that and how long that took us, because to me right now, heroics are kind of like our raids. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, unlike apparently a lot of other guilds, our guild recently in the past month seems to have shrunk. And I think I don't know how much of that to attribute to Cataclysm, and it's perhaps its difficulty, and maybe the fact that everything was easy before, and how much of that might just be personal life stuff. You know, holidays just happened, new year, new resolutions. Maybe people are trying to cut back on the WoW. That's cool. You know, real life comes first. But, you know, since we're not really raiding actively, and that's not something I really want to do too seriously now anyway, your heroics are kind of what we got. So I appreciate that it's pretty challenging. And, you know, to get that guild standard by beating every single heroic, while I understand to some people that's like, oh, Raffle Stomp, we had that on by Christmas Eve. To me, it's kind of like, that feels like a real accomplishment to have done that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really excited.
And, you know, I have said before that I think that it's as much Blizzard's fault for the way that people are, as much as it is for these individuals that feel like it should be easier. I think that Blizzard really did spoil a lot of people with Wrath. You know, we got used to we got used to the easy mode.
I was giving this a bit of thought, like, how could they fix this? And part of the problem is it's all pugs. The problem isn't when you run things with your guild or whatever. It's the experience people are having in pug groups and how often people are getting kicked for weird ass reasons and how people don't want to do the role assigned to them and so forth. So I think it's nice that Ghostcrawler kind of came out and said, it's not always the healer's fault, you know, especially as a healer. I appreciate that. DPS, you need to crowd control. Tanks, you need to do that, you know, and so forth. But they've got to do something about pugs, whether it's like a karma system or a friends list that works cross realm or something like a preferred grouping list or something. Here's what I think, honestly, if I ran Blizzard,
what is it that you think?
I would break recount. That's what I would do. I would break the recount mod. I am totally serious with this because people are still thinking DPS is the by all mean all EP. And I still see people posting DPS meters after boss fights. And you know what my response is when somebody posts a DPS meter after a boss fight? Post the damage taken meter after a boss fight. And if the same person's topping both those lists, that's not a good place to be. There should be the tank and everybody else should be together from AoE stuff. Because, like, if you're fucking standing in fire and taking damage and all that stuff to increase your DPS, guess what? You're a shitty DPSer, even if you're breaking, like, 12,000 DPS. That's the truth.
Yeah.
And people have EPing around this whole DPS stuff. And that mentality has to stop.
And that's another thing that came from Wrath, is that people got used to that, you know, the DPS meters, because that's the biggest thing that mattered, you know. But now that it doesn't, and, you know, not to say that it mattered, it's the only thing that mattered on every fight, obviously it didn't, but, you know, most of the stuff. Now, when it comes to most fights, especially in raids that I've noticed, you know, the DPS meters are an integral part to the entire fight, I think. You know, it's good to see. I think they shouldn't necessarily break recount, but it's good to see how well your DPS are doing, you know. But it's also good to see how well they are avoiding stuff, you know, and how well they are, you know, healing, you know, when it counts. And how
to see
well,
who Ferrari
you know,
needs to yell at.
Exactly. It's good to see all those individual things now, because they all matter more than ever, I think. So, we'll see how things happen in the future.
Obviously, but when I say they should break recount, I'm being a little overdramatic. They should not break recount, okay? But the thing is that there needs to be this adjustment of what being a DPSer is really about, and it really boils down to that term DPS. You know what? Guess what? Now a DPSer, quote unquote's job is crowd control, staying out of fire. You know, maybe DPSers, we need to reclassify what we call them. They're like assassins. Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes you smother your prey with a chloroform to knock them out for a little bit before you really kill them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. hey Jim, what do you have to say about this? Or Flacco about... Jones? Sorry,
it's okay. I just think it's weird. I mean, the whole Ghostcrawler makes this big long post about how heroics are hard, and we're happy with that. And he did mention something in towards the end about you know nerfs are going to come eventually, mm-hmm. but when people are moving on to the next like stages of content, and then we have you know lower people running this stuff. But then 4 hours later, they release this patch notes that say there's all these nerfs coming. And I'm afraid mm-hmm. that by the time I get to 85, I'm not going to even get to experience these like cool new heroics. They're all going to be, you know, face roll again. And I'll be just pugging them going, what was everybody talking about?
You know, the leveling curve is so easy now that you'll be 85 in no time and you'll be able to experience it all. I think that we're still in the stage where people are learning things. I mean, granted, it isn't as big a deal as it was when it first launched, but I think that people are still trying to get their acts together with these instances. So
I just think Blizzard's nerfing it too quickly already. I mean,
and let's not
people are learning, they're getting better gear. It's going to get easier.
Let's not forget there's going to be new five-mans too that will be really hard. Like even in Wrath, you know, a Pit of Sauron, God, that used to be a really hard one to run, you know, mm-hmm. when it first came out.
Yeah, so it was Halls of Reflection.
Oh yeah, Halls of Reflection was a nightmare.
Halls of Reflection.
How does Jaina say it? Halls of Reflection. Because all she does is cry. I don't want to go because I miss my eye face. Vagina. We all call her Vagina Crymore.
Extra first Jaina sounds like she's from the South.
Yeah, it's like,
I love my office. He's my boo. Wow. Uh-huh. It really, truly is the one thing I don't like about being Alliance is that we have Vagina Proudmore. And I...
Vagina Crymore.
Exactly. She needs to just be quiet.
Yeah.
Remember
that rumor that she was going to die?
Her.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I said, remember that rumor that she was going to die?
Alliance
at the end of
players
Wrath.
Probably started that rumor, hoping it would come true.
You know, I think Horde members also contributed to that rumor, too.
That would be fine by me. Throw her off of Thunder Bluff. I don't even care.
Get away from our thrall.
They'll give us undead Jaina.
Oh, undead. You can have undead Jaina.
No.
Jaina. That's pretty much I didn't touch really on what Ghostcrawler had to say about heroic difficulty, but it's pretty much what Jim said. You know, he touches on it and defends it, and then at the very end he says, you know, we will nerf it as stuff goes forward. And of course we got those patch notes after his post.
4 hours after he made the post.
Granted, I think that a lot of these, you know, nerfs are just quality of life things that, you know, like I said with the Azrak fight in the Stone Core, where they're going to make it more visible for people that need to run out of the area. You know, they're going to make it so that those things, I think things that they didn't intend to be extremely daunting are going to be a little bit more easier to understand and comprehend. So
I saw there's one nerf where it said one boss is going to forget the ability he had to heal himself.
Yeah.
that's
definitely, I mean, but you know, I think that that was a fight that really solely depended on comp. And if you didn't have the right players, then it really made the fight a lot more difficult.
Does that mean group composition?
Yeah.
Okay.
Position. It had to do a lot with which players were in your group. You know, if you had a particular class, it would make it easier. And I think that goes against what Blizzard is trying, you know, with the whole bring the player, not the class thing. I think that's why they decided to do that.
Can you guys hear the crying baby in the background?
We can. Is that Courthouse's young?
It's just great. It's like I got doorbells and crying babies and other mic problems.
Really, coming to us live from Grand Central Station. Jeez Louise.
Continue. Ignore the crying baby.
Aw, poor crying baby.
He'll be fine.
The last thing on my list for news this week is Tol'Barad. I think that Blizzard is, you know, they're trying to edge on, you know, hey, we're going to retune this this whole area, but they're apprehensive on doing what a lot of people are suggesting, which is, you know, a lot of people suggested, why don't we have two towers instead of three, you know, or we can have like a tenacity type buff or whatnot, and they're really not trying to go that direction from the way that they had a post on Tol'Barad, and it was a long post about what they're going to do, how they feel about Tol'Barad, and actually defended the whole situation on the people attacking it, it being harder to attack than defend, saying that that's actually one of the things they wanted for the area. They think that it's a little overtuned, you know, to the point where it's almost near impossible. But so there will be, you know, nerfs to that, but they're considering, instead of doing the whole having two instead of three, they're considering giving people more of an advantage to get the third tower if they already have two. Now, I don't know what they're going to do, if they've come out exactly with what they're going to do with that, if they're going to give you a damage buff, or if, you know, the time it takes to capture the third tower is, you know, not as slow, I guess. Not sure what they mean by that, but at least that's promising. But otherwise, they are kind of defending, you know, the whole, you know, defending is going to be easier thing, which I think was hard for a lot of people to read. But I think as a whole, they know that it's really hard to take it right now, and I think they will fix it.
Doesn't seem like when you read that whole little spiel about, you know, they're kind of defending Tol'Barad in a little bit, Barad, Bastard. When they're talking about that, it's like in defending it, doesn't it seem like when they made that whole shift to 1800 honor, which was basically during the holidays, like somebody kind of did that without the right people knowing while they were out of town for the holidays, and then they kind of switched it back. Like, don't you? I just really get that sense that something happened at the House of Blizzard,
yeah,
where somebody put that, like, oh shit, everybody's complaining, we got to make it stop. Just fucking give them 1800 honor, and we'll figure it out after New Year's. And then
they're like, Jethro, why'd you do that, Jethro? We're gonna throw you in the pan. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what happened. Yeah, Jethro. We can all blame it on Jethro.
So poor Jethro, who increased the honor to 1800, is sitting, you know, got demoted over the weekend.
He's like,
fired.
Sorry, Matza. Yeah.
So,
So I think that it's a good thing though that they're thinking about it, I guess. I don't know. Blizzard is very stubborn. Obviously, we know this from the real ID thing.
They caved on that though. They had to.
Yeah, they did. They did eventually cave, but you know, it wasn't until they have a 20,000 post, you know, on the forum.
And they didn't cave as much as they should have. We still shouldn't have our real names anywhere in that game, but that's another discussion I won't get into.
Exactly. So they are very stubborn and they're reluctant, you know, to do things, but somebody made a really good post right after Ghostcrawler's post that I was talking about earlier. And somebody said, you know, I just hope that you guys don't get stuck in the developer's mindset of what you think is going to be fun for us as opposed to what the customer really believes is fun, you know, because that is a disconnection and it'll cause people to leave.
Yeah, but what's fun for one person isn't fun for everybody as well.
Right. But I mean, I think that was the point to this person's post was that, you know, you got to not be stuck in what your own perception of fun is. Try to think outside the box, because obviously there's a lot of people out there that are paying to play this game and they might not believe the same things collectively as the developers do.
Keep in mind, my perception of Toll Barad is kind of fucked because Alliance always has it on my server. But honestly, I really think all they need to do is just have that invisible scale that it slowly tips in the other faction's favor as one. Just don't make it impossible for the other faction to ever win, and it'll be fine, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you can change hands once in a while. It's kind of like Wintergrasp, you know? And they made the right changes to Wintergrasp eventually.
You know what's funny is I was thinking about this the other day, and I used to play that other game, Warhammer Online.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're very PvP-centric. And I quit playing about the time that they released this new zone that was faction-controlled. You can only go there and experience the new PvE things if you did this PvP battle, you know, that if you were imbalanced, you would never see. And they, as far as I know, they never corrected that. And a lot of people left the game at that point. And I'm one of them, actually. And so it's kind of cool to see that Blizzard at least is replying and they are at least, you know, showing that they are listening, I guess, by having these posts and stuff. So, because, you know, in that game, we didn't really get anything from the developers. And all we saw were developers getting fired. So, yeah.
Warhammer was fun. I played it for like a month. It was neat.
It was fun.
I liked the PvP in it. It had some pretty cool PvP stuff.
Yeah, I was a goblin shaman.
I don't even remember what I was. I was an old man that healed. I don't even know what that... I think an old elf. Old crotchety elf that cast heal spells.
Old crotchety.
I'm going to heal you!
Exactly.
Stand still, Sonny!
Before I die, be healed.
Yeah.
I can't heal myself, but I'll heal you.
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Toll Barad, but it's like... I mean, I just remember Wintergrasp and how they had that hidden mechanic where if you won too many times in a row, the other side would be able to build, like, engines right away. And I don't know. I mean, it's like a double-edged sword, right? You want there to be kind of balance, but when you kind of wedge it in there, like, fake style, then what's the point? You know, like, at that point, you're not doing real PvP when one side has this insane buff and, like, oh, this is the time where we just have to lose. It just seems arbitrary.
I think that they're not going to be doing that with Toll Barad. I think that's.
I think they will eventually, though. I think because what else is going to work?
They might, but I mean, maybe whatever they're doing with these towers thing might work.
Hope so. Who knows?
Yeah, but otherwise, I mean, it's really just a glorified Arathi Basin, right? I mean, that's all it is. So what if they just take what works from Arathi Basin? Put it in Toll Barad, and hey, you got yourself a open PvP.
Because we already got a new Arathi Basin with the battle for Gilneas. You never PvP, so you don't know that, but that is basically Arathi Basin for 10 people.
I know this, but I mean, this would be a larger scale one. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And with vehicles.
Yeah.
See? You should work for Blizzard, Extrovert.
I should not work for Blizzard. Thank you for the suggestion. Where's the mute button on Jim's mic?
I don't got one. Here. So
I'll hit it when the doorbell goes off again.
Any other news tonight, Extrovert?
I'm fresh out, but thank you.
Well, you better find some more for next week.
Oh, okay. Right. I will get right on that. Please on do. Next Thursday.
All right, let's get into the topic of the week. Tonight's topic, thing we want to talk about and discuss and hear back from you guys via email, hordehousepodcast@gmail.com, and on the Twitter, twitter.com/hordehouse. The topic for this week, and then we'll get into the responses from last week, of which we got quite a few. We have some long-ass emails on the emails this week. And since we're feeling kind and generous and self-serving because it's our 10th episode, we're going to read them all. So we'll get to that in a moment. But this topic of the week, this week. Achievement, since, you know, we're talking about achievements, you know, achieving a 10th episode of a podcast. Hello. Achievement that they left out of Cataclysm. What should they have had? What should they have made an achievement for that they didn't in Cataclysm?
Oh, okay.
Should I go first?
Sure. Since you have an answer, Jimmy, why don't you go first? Achievement that they left out of Cataclysm.
You know, I noticed this, and maybe I'm wrong, but I could have sworn I didn't see this anywhere. A new, like, mount or pet collector achievement. And I wonder if it's because, like, as far as mounts, it's because they didn't add mounts for Alliance with the whole Worgen thing, if that's why that's not in there. Because in the past, they've always tried to balance the mounts so that there's not a discrepancy on one side. That's why they put the Raptor mount back in for the Horde, and they added an extra couple mounts to random factions here and there. So there's no, like, mount achievement where if you collect, you know, 150 mounts or whatever the number would be, that you get another, like, crazy mount. Or even with pets, it seems like they're not putting those in anymore. And I don't know if it's coming in later or what, but I was surprised that wasn't in there. I was kind of looking forward to seeing what the next mount achievement would be. Like, what would it be called? What would you get for it?
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I have 12 mounts probably, but I mean, I was hoping that maybe my sister could get the next achievement because she has all the other ones. So, I think that my achievement, Jim reminded me of it for some odd reason, was the fact that you don't have a rare kill achievement for Cataclysm. So you don't. I mean, there's obviously a lot of rares in Cataclysm. I mean, there's Ghostcrawler, there's, you know, the ones in Hyjal, but there's no achievement to go with it. So what's up? What's up, Blizzard?
What up with that?
What up with that?
What's up with that?
I'm glad we all three did.
I've got
trifecta.
Two answers for this achievement they left out of Cataclysm. One, kind of similar to they needed to upgrade an old Wrath achievement, completing 25 pug dungeons with a pug group. So that way people stop dropping all the fucking time would be a great idea.
Or they should have upped a new achievement for pugging, like pugging 150, because it's so much harder now. It'd be a harder grind, right. You know.
It's like the extremely patient is your new type.
Yeah, because technically,
the old achievements kind of still apply in this new setting, if I think right. Like, if you want to get the pug now on a new character, you're going to have to do that. But they should have upgraded that achievement to motivate others to continue to get through this tough period of pugging.
Yeah,
my second answer would be account-bound achievements, meaning we have this whole stupid real ID thing in the first place. Why do I not have all the achievements that I have earned across my characters in one place? And this could include my StarCraft achievements, basically your BattleNet achievements, including my StarCraft achievements, including achievements. And I thought Blizzard had planned for this at some point, but maybe like an achievement for – and not that they need to go overboard with achievements, but maybe like an achievement for having leveled a Worgen and a Goblin to 85.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Things like,
you know,
similar to what you have in guild achievements, but for one.
So they have achievements in StarCraft?
Yeah, in StarCraft 2 they do.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. So yeah, that's a good idea. But you know what? Maybe they're gearing for that when a Diablo finally comes out.
And that
Diablo
could 3. Be, because certainly Diablo is going to have achievements as well. Yeah, it would be nice to just kind of like have a wall, a trophy room, if you will, an e-peen that I can link to. Like, here's my real ID page, you know, that gives you a map to my house and shows you what achievements I've earned across the games.
And I like that you, like you said, it's account-bound achievements, because for someone like me who plays, well, I guess I have multiple accounts, that still doesn't really matter, but playing multiple characters, I play so many different kinds, it'd be nice that I wouldn't have to just worry about working on one. You know, I never really get one character really pimped out with achievements like my wife does, because she just plays basically the one character, gets all her achievements on that one character. And meanwhile, I'm just like, I've got like some characters I've done all the old raids on, some I've done all the old dungeons on. It's just all kind of mixed bag.
Yeah, I think that that's a good idea. I think that, and that's something that people have asked Blizzard a lot, so hopefully they're going to do something.
Usually if we bitch loud enough, Blizzard will issue a press release about it or something. So we'll,
Ghostcrawler will. We'll hope.
Yeah, Ghostcrawler. That's funny, because I was talking to Flacco Jones earlier about Ghostcrawler. His, you know, before Cataclysm, Cataclysm did something to him, because he used to post all the time on the old forums. Maybe it was the new forums that did something to him. He posted replies to people. You know, he would post that, you know, you're banned, you know, if you did something, if you said something wrong. But now he has not posted anything except for these long tirades, and then you won't hear from him for like a few weeks.
Well, so keep in mind, he does, you know, design the game, and he might be working on fixing what's broken right now, and, you know, he might be kind of busy. You know, he's not steamrolling Wrath content like the rest of us. You know, he's...
You know, but what does that have to do with my knees?
Ghostcrawler... I can't think of a new mouthpiece then.
Exactly.
They're probably already planning...
Ghostcrawler, you be needing to pay attention to my needs, okay?
They're probably already...
Oh, my man.
They're probably already planning the next expansion. They're like, EverQuest has 19 expansions? Why haven't we caught up? We could be charging $30 a piece for
you
those.
You a crab. I'm a crab, too. I got crabs. Okay?
Why haven't they dropped the price of Wrath of the Lich King yet? That's what else I want to know. We have a guildie, and this is the hilarious
thing.
They
did for a couple weeks.
For a couple weeks they did. But here's the hilarious thing. For those of you that listen to my other show, Orange Lounge Radio, and that podcast feed has been behind, so you guys may not know
this.
Yeah,
I wish I could listen to it.
It'll be fixed. But here's the thing. Dark Sakura... Like, she is almost 70. And, like, 3 weeks ago, she hated Warcraft. And now she's almost level 70. She, like, loves Warcraft now and Cataclysm and everything. But she will not get past 70 because she only owns Burning Crusade. And she's, like, $40 for Wrath and then – or, no, what was it? $30 for Wrath or whatever. And then another 40 for Cataclysm. She's like, I can't justify that whole cost. So I'm really surprised Blizzard has not permanently lowered the price of Wrath to sell more copies of Cataclysm. It kind of doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
like they're kind of scaring new players away with the price tag to play a war game.
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense, because they lowered all the other ones when the new expansion came out, didn't they?
Yeah, they need to have a new battle chest.
And bundled them. Yeah, exactly.
They need to have a new battle chest. They need it like really soon. Really soon.
They do.
And they need a really good deal for those that early adopted at least Burning Crusade, you know, trying to get people back. Because if they do announce a new expansion sooner rather than later, which I actually think is going to happen, I think a new expansion gets announced at BlizzCon this year, and I think it'll be a slightly reduced cycle than 2 years, maybe like a year and a half. You know, because again, EverQuest has had like 19 expansions in the 10 or 11 years it's been around. You know, they can do expansions much faster if that's what they want to do. I mean, but...
Plus, I don't think they're into the whole... quality before quantity thing anymore.
Exactly.
I think they're going to push it out if Activision needs
too.
Money.
After this whole Cataclysm launch, I agree. I think that Cataclysm, for all the bugs in the world that Wrath of Lich King had, they don't compare to what Cataclysm brought to
them. My wife's trying to play Twilight Highlands. She's doing this really long quest chain. She's, I think, at the end of it, and there's like this huge epic battle you have to do with a bunch of NPCs, and you have to click on statues, and you have to kill this creature that has like millions of hit points. It's almost like a raid boss, but you get to fight him with yourself and some NPCs, and it won't work. It's broken. So she put in a ticket to Blizzard, and sure enough, they say, oh yeah, that's not working right now. We're going to fix it eventually, and then you'll be able to finish it then.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's kind of not acceptable.
Is it the big squiddy thing? Or squiddy thing?
Gosh, brain. I don't remember.
because I had a problem.
Yeah, I'm just watching it.
I had a problem with one of those bosses, you know, I guess pseudo bosses in Twilight Highlands, and I had to leave the area and then come back, and then it was not bugged.
Well, it wasn't that thing, because this one is permanent, is broken right now, and there's no way to fix it. So
wow,
I do really like though that the the Cataclysm quest will kind of teach you how to do some raid stuff. Like I was doing a quest, you know, I was catching up on doing all my Deep Home quest, and I had to do a quest there where it's like, now hide behind the rock before he does his X attack.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that too.
Even though you don't really have the group quests anymore, they made the single player boss fights kind of have raid mechanics to them, which I thought was awesome. Yeah. That's great. That was a great idea.
Yeah, even this fight I'm talking about, there's like these pillars you have to click on to boost up your NPCs who are fighting the boss. And then one of them is like all shadowy and it's obvious you're not supposed to touch it. But then a big message flashes on the screen. Don't get near the shadow pillar. It's like, okay, we get it. But I guess it's for, you know, like you said, it's just training people.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I think that's good.
Again, Dark Sakura, who is getting to 70, has yet to run a dungeon. And I'm kind of thinking to myself like, oh God, somebody's going to have to like teach her like how to sheep and all this. Like a pug will eat her alive.
So she hasn't played any dungeon pre-70?
No.
Oh.
Well, she's not 70 yet, but I mean, leveling from 1 to like 60, whatever she's at now, she's not run a single dungeon.
Wow. I haven't legitimately run any dungeons since I've been playing. I'm working on my third like 60 now, and I haven't legitimately run a dungeon because I've been having so much fun questing, and I don't really want to break it up and go into a dungeon and deal with waiting to get in there with people and everything.
And besides all the dungeons you've done before, really, the only one that's changed is Dead Mines.
And I did Shadow Fang and Dead Mines, but I just got run through, you know. But still, I got to see at least what was different.
Yeah. The good thing about dungeons now, I think, in lower level areas is that they do offer a lot of quests inside them. They're all the same quests that you would get in the zone before the expansion was released, but now they're all grouped up inside the dungeons once you enter them, so I thought that was kind of cool. But yeah, if you don't want to out-level the same zone that you're in, I think it's a safe bet to just do the questing. And if you don't care about gear, I mean, I think it's kind of funny how some people care so much about this low level gear when you're going to out level it in no time anyway. So,
all right. Anyway. Should we get to the tweets?
Yeah, sure.
Let's get the listeners to show us their tweets. We're going to go to twitter.com/hordehouse and read some of the tweets of this week. So let's see. Going to a tweet from RZBG, sent us a tweet kind of responding to one of the emails last week. No, we Brits do not have any less annoying pugs. Pug dick is still pug dick either side of the pond. He also, by the way, had tweeted, as a good pug tank, I think Hordehouse just called me a dick. Although I inspired some serious dodgy innuendo, so that's my bad. So, I said, the tanks that listen to this show obviously are fine, but there's just and I'm sure there's lots of fine pug tanks out there. And I think as this is kind of going on, I actually think things are getting a little better as more and more people are kind of realizing what bastards they're being and how the game isn't really fun. Like, I think more people are getting better with the pugging.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still too afraid to go pug, but... Yeah, I mean,
I love pugging. I've always been into it.
But you're not 85 yet.
Well, no, I'm not 85. You know what? I did it in Burning Crusade when nobody wanted to do it, and I met some cool people doing pugs. Yeah, I met people from the other server, Crimson, Darkon. These people, you know, I met them through pugs. Shockthar. I met all these people and I ended up bringing them into the guild and stuff because we pugged with them.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's
I think there's difference about, and maybe that's the other thing. It's the random pug finder now. Before, we had to like meet these people on these servers and talk to them, and then we can run with them again, which is like, I think maybe you were saying it earlier, maybe said on the past podcast, but how Blizzard needs to put in a way where you can kind of make friends with people on other servers and group with them. I think that'd be so. I mean, you can make friends with people on other servers, but you can't group with them, right?
Right.
Or have like a preferred list. You know, what if they? Yeah. Oh, this is an idea I had while I was randomly stuck in traffic one day thinking about, wow, you know, you're addicted when. I think everybody should be forced to sit in the looking for group tool when you queue by yourself for like 2 or 3 minutes. Even if you're a tank, you should not insta-queue. You should be forced to sit in that queue for 2 to 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And during that 2 to 3 minutes, I think it would be cool if maybe the game could find other people that you like that you've played with before and try to, you know, kind of give like a window of opportunity for your friends to queue up on maybe on other servers and you could all kind of like group together. You know what I mean? Think of it as like a window of opportunity to do matchmaking. Like when you play on Xbox Live, do you hit the button and go right into a match? Not always. It's searching the server. It's finding the best game for you. You know, it kind of takes a minute. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah,
if WoW
I think that's a good
like
idea.
WoW should be Xbox Live without the hate speech.
I don't think you're going to have much success with that. Right. But
it's worth a try.
I just like the idea about having kind of friends or people that, I mean, I guess you guys have been throwing this around on the show the last couple of weeks too, is when you have a run with somebody, instead of like maybe not have a bad comment system because that could be exploited or whatever, but have a, just like a like button like they have on Facebook. Like, I like running with this person. And the more likes they have, the higher rep they have, the more like you'll run with that person, or the more that person will, you know, run with good groups.
Oh, God. As in bed as Blizzard is with Facebook right now, can you imagine, like, it goes to your Facebook feed? Rob Roberts likes this player, you know?
Rob Roberts likes Extraferral.
Exactly.
Like, I think, you know what? I think I second what Jim said about, you know, being able to run with your friends from other servers. I think that's a good idea, you know? I mean, it shouldn't go cross faction or anything like that, but I mean, it's one of those things about Burning Crusade. And I remember I used to tank those instances with Flaco Jones.
Yeah. When I was a DPSer.
Yeah. And we used to have a really good time. I mean, they were not very easy dungeons. I mean, at that point in time for us, and it was fun to get to know these people. It was fun to be able to, you know, when you see them come online and be like, okay, hey, do you want to run this dungeon? You know,
it's like, oh, our favorite warlock just logged on, now let's do Mechanar, because Mechanar is great with a warlock, and you know, right, kind of works so, like that way.
There should be always the random dungeon finder, because you know, it is successful despite its flaws. But there should also be maybe a non-random dungeon finder for, you know, the people that you have created these, you know, bonds with. You know, I think that'd be kind of cool, you know, to where they come online and maybe you can hit this dungeon finder tool and they can accept whether they want to queue into it with you or something like that. I don't know.
So I totally just thought of the achievement name. You ready? They like me. They really, really like me. Get 50 people to like you as a player.
And it has a Facebook thumbs
up.
Yes,
it has a little thumbs up.
There you go.
Or Sally Field with a crying face. I don't know. All right.
For all you young listeners out there.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's on YouTube or something. Old tube.
Sally Field was once in a show called The Flying Nun.
That has nothing to do with the "they like me" statement.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That was from me. Anyway, hey, mine. Can I read the next tweet?
Oscar speech.
Tweet. Mine with your nine says it's a tweet. Best thing to do with another person in WoW? Quest on a PvP server. That's a great idea.
That is
actually
totally right.
And I didn't even think of that because I never have played on a PvP server. But that's actually an awesome idea. I think if I wanted to have a lot of fun, like not even just questing with like one person, but can you imagine having like a dedicated group of five that you just do all your quests and dungeons with on a PvP server?
That's what I did when I was on the PvP server, because we had a really tight PvP guild and we would all quest together, because the best way to make sure you don't get ganked is to have numbers.
Nice.
And it also means like you're doing a quest that the Alliance also have. They're doing that quest. Just kill them and then you do the quest and then they won't come back and bother you.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like if you're all on the same quest, you're trying to kill these mobs and you can't do it because they're taking all your mobs. Well, on a PvP server, you just kill them and then you take the mobs yourself. PvP servers are the best.
Peeker Uno sends us some tweets. He was live blogging the show. I love reading his live blogs of the show as he's listening on Twitter. One of my friends tried a PvP private server. It was pretty insane. Certainly not much game there, right? Yeah, I those private servers, you know, you get what you pay for, right?
Yeah,
I've never done it.
Let's see. Also, this guild sounds awesome. I'd love my GM to use the term shitbags. Unfortunately, we're all way too kind. And I think that ties into the final tweet here. You bet us Brits are more nicerer, biatch.
Oh, I love it.
So there you go.
That's some proper etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
From Britain.
We can work this out over some tea and crumpets.
Yeah. Oh, now all of them hate us. Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome. Actually, we have quite a few British listeners that have been tweeting us, and people in other countries. It's like it's always so humbling, this whole podcast thing, and just how far it can kind of take a couple of weirdos sitting at home talking about their favorite game, you know, and our opinions on it. It's just fascinating.
A couple of weirdos and one cool guy.
Yeah, Rob.
Yeah, wait. That's how I actually tell people Orange Lounge Radio basically is. It's a couple weirdos and one cool guy. Unfortunately, the cool guy is Loki. anyhow, going to us a tweet from Dan Shadow, who really, really wants to be on the show, but unfortunately works Thursday nights, but sends us a tweet saying, what's the easiest way to get some heirloom items now? I want to make sure I'm ready when I re-roll. That's a good question, because didn't they up the justice points on the level 80 stuff?
Yes,
like 2,000?
They did.
You can't get that.
Okay, a couple things. I was going to say, after you get all of the gear that you need from your justice points, it's actually pretty easy to accumulate those points, on a daily basis or whatever. And I found myself almost at the cap again, and I was able to buy a couple heirloom pieces. Of course, you can only buy a couple heirloom pieces at a time because they're so high in price. Another way to get your heirloom gear is just to be a little patient and wait for your guild to level up so you can get the heirlooms, you know, off of the from the guild, you know, guild leveling or guild reputation or whatever. I think that you also have to have a lot of gold, because these items aren't cheap. I mean, we got the cloaks, like I said earlier, and the cloaks are like 1200 gold each. So it isn't cheap, but
that's not that bad.
I mean, there's another
that's 70 dailies, which honestly is, I know it sounds like a lot, but that's like a week's worth of casual dailies.
Yeah, right.
Do they still have Argent tournament?
Yes,
items, because that's another way to get those.
Oh yeah,
and then you can also do and I don't know how this works anymore now that everyone's moved on, but can you still do Winter Grasp? Because if all you care about is the XP bonus, like, you can get the resilience items from Winter Grasp, and
I believe you can do Winter Grasp,
because that's what I did. I used a combination of, at the time, badges and Winter Grasp and Argent tournament, and I geared up my alt really quickly on heirlooms. It's just because the combination of those three things together, you can have yourself geared in a couple days, really.
And most guilds, but, you know, most guilds already have the 10% boost as well. Even our guild has it. We're way behind, like, in guild leveling. We don't even have Hasty Hearth yet. That's what we're working on right now, because we're only hitting like maybe 20-30% of the cap every day. But you can, you know, join a guild that's, and I know Dan Shadow's in one because he plays in our guild, that has the XP boost if that's what you're after.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways. I mean, I think that the way Jim was talking about the Argent tournament, that's actually
a smart
way. Because now, I mean, if you're level 85, you could probably just get a couple people and then go into that dungeon, the 5-man dungeon, and get 3 badges or 3 of those seals just from there.
Just from there alone. Yeah, so every day you can get a bunch.
Yeah. The only catch to that is that you do have to do all of the pre-Argent tournament dailies to get to that point where you get the vendor.
Yeah, I guess I was assuming he already had an 80, and that's what he's asking, with the fastest way. But I mean, if he doesn't, then yeah, that would be a little difficult.
Yeah,
you don't want to go through all that.
Yeah, but meanwhile, you'll accumulate justice points, and it shouldn't be too hard to do that. There's so many avenues.
Flacco Jones, you're not only on the show. Ooh. You sent us a tweet. You said, what is the most out of way you've gone to play World of Warcraft? Well, guess what, buddy? You're going to answer that question first.
Well, good, because I have an answer.
All right.
it goes back to, once again, me on a PvP server. I was playing PvP Hunter, once again, grinding the PvP honor system, and my video card burned out on my computer. So I was just really mad. It's like, I can't play. I don't know what to do. I took a day off, but I was starting to get the shakes because I'm addicted or whatever. So I remember that there's this place in Berkeley called Eudaimonia. It's like an internet cafe, a gaming cafe kind of place.
It's called Eudaiman now, dog. What's it?
No. Eudaimonia. It's that. What is that? It's like a Greek word or something. I don't even know.
Okay, whatever.
Anyway, it's a place in Berkeley. And I tell my
roommate,
clearly,
like, it's for hipsters.
Yeah. Hipsters who play video games. So I tell my roommate, I'm going to go to Berkeley to play WoW. And he's like, really? And yeah, I'll call you in about an hour or so, because I had to take the BART train, which is the, and for people who don't live in the Bay Area, it means Bay Area Rapid Transit, and it's like the subway and combination subway L train to take you other places. So I go to Berkeley, I walk a couple blocks, I go to this place, call my roommate, I'm like, okay, I'm logging on, let's play some Battlegrounds. And sure enough, we log on. So I'm all the way in Berkeley playing with my roommate who's, you know, in Walnut Creek, and you know, it's, you know, about an hour away via train, and that's how far I went to play WoW, because I really needed to.
Thinking you're addicted, actually.
Yeah, that was a pretty dark time. It was fun though.
That's pretty dark time.
I'm paying by the hour to pay a game to play a game that I'm already paying by the month to play.
That so time in my bad. Life was so terrible.
But it was great. I got to play more PvP, and my video card eventually got fixed. They had to ship me a new one, but yeah, that's how far I went out of my way.
Honestly, I don't really have a good answer for this. I would say I have played on my laptop on work trips, like not while I'm at work, but you know, when you're away for a couple days because you're at like a 3-day training in LA or something, I'll play it at night in the hotel, and I've paid like $10 to get Wi-Fi just so I can play. And why is hotel Wi-Fi so damn expensive?
I went to Disneyland. I went to the Grand Californian when my wife was pregnant, and like, so we go to Disneyland, but she can't do anything because she got pregnant. I booked the trip before we found out, so we're just kind of in the hotel room. So I brought the laptop plugged into, you know, the internet there at the Grand Californian, and I was playing WoW at Disneyland instead of going to Disneyland at Disneyland. So it's another case of
You know, you play too much WoW. When I'm surprised you didn't name baby Thrall.
I was gonna go by myself. Well, you know, my wife's taking care of the baby crying right now, and you're doing a podcast. So once again, I'm the father of the year.
All right, let's get through the rest of the tweets then, so you can get back to taking care of the baby. We have some new tweeters.
I didn't answer that.
Oh, sorry, Exfer. All right, go ahead.
Well, I would say that I've played WoW in hotels and stuff like that, but usually I'm too busy fapping it. So I'm just going to not answer the question, because I've never had to, you know, deal with that.
Because fapping always wins in that contest. WoW.
Fapping.
WoW or fap. WoW or fap. What about fap WoW?
I think you just described a new product.
Extrovert doesn't play Alliance.
Doesn't that one guy like promote the FAP WoW?
No, I think he died. All right. Anyhow,
okay. You didn't get it. It's like the sham WoW, but the FAP WoW. I don't know. Go ahead.
Twisted Cheek sends us a tweet saying, "Good job on the podcast. I play a mage on Agewin. Still only 82. So Rob, you are definitely not that slow." Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. No, I know there's a lot of people that are
just
taking their sweet ass time.
It is definitely that slow.
And that's totally cool. You know what? Enjoy the content before you burn through it all. And then you're like, oh, I guess I'll go grind rep and go back to, you know, Toll Berard. Another tweet from Twisted Cheek. Special note, absolutely no to reviving Oculus. Yes, you know, from a couple episodes ago when we were talking about
that was my idea too. It was so dumb.
I know.
The point was to revive it and make it better.
Yeah.
Huge Brain tweets, why isn't there any Chuck Norris references in WoW yet? You'd think a pop culture icon would have.
There is, though, kind of.
Well,
not really.
Baron's chat before they decide to destroy the Barons, which is the most awesome thing Blizzard did, by the way.
That's where it all started, right? Well, not all of Chuck Norris, but that's where it really caught on in WoW.
No, it started on Waukes Texas Ranger.
Waukes?
Walker.
Oh, okay.
But the High Overlord Sourfang has a move called Roundhouse Kick. That whenever somebody crits him, he'll roundhouse kick them for 10,000 health, which at the time was like all your health pool when you're level 60. So I think that is kind of a subtle Chuck Norris reference.
Because
he roundhouse kicks everybody in the face and they all die.
They do. They did.
Huge Brain also says, what is the weirdest thing you've slash E in game? Like, I guess weirdest emote.
Oh.
I think the violin one is if you slash violin.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say maybe he's wondering about like creative ones you've made
up. Create your own. Yeah. When you slash E.
God, I'm not that creative.
I know.
Mine
I don't use a lot of that. I don't probably just dick and fart jokes, honestly.
Mine was giving our guild's vent information to an alliance warrior. Because back in the old days, once again, PvP server days, you could actually talk cross-faction if you mind-controlled someone and then spammed a macro. You're not necessarily macro, but that would help. But if you typed slash E, anything you wrote in an emote, they could read. So at the time, there was this big alliance guild was kind of owning Battlegrounds on our server. And this big alliance guild also made it hard for other people, even on their server, to get into Battlegrounds. And because we got so good playing them all the time that when we played any other alliance guild, we just rolled them. So this guy was like, we kind of talked to him on the forums a little bit, but we didn't want to be so, obvious about it, because what we're going to do is we're going to trade wins. So I mind controlled him, spammed him our vent info with the macro, and then he logged on to vent and we set up a thing where we went to Warsong and we played in Warsong forever, just getting kills and kills and kills, and then just trading flag caps. And then, we'd always win 3-2 and we'd just alternate who won that battle and just keep queuing in at the same time over and over again. So yeah, we were dirty cheaters.
So you basically used the emote to just totally violate the terms of service left
yes.
and right.
Yeah. We were just really upset that this one alliance guild just had a stranglehold on PvP, and even the alliance didn't like that guild because they were like, yeah, we hate those guys. We want to play with you guys and just, farm all day. But you know what happened that's kind of funny? Is that somebody in our guild wasn't in on it, and he found out about it, and he got so angry that we were playing with Alliance. Not even like a terms of service thing. This is how like deep the whole hatred for Alliance goes. He posts that on the forums that, I heard what you guys did, and it's wrong. They're the enemy. You do not play with the enemy. Like, you don't do that kind of thing. You shouldn't talk with them. You shouldn't let them on your vent or anything. I'm disgusted.
You know what? No. You Hordies need to get over it. I'm Alliance, and I'm cuddly and fun, okay? So
hey, we were having a good time with the enemy, I guess, but
sleeping with the enemy.
It shut us up. We stopped doing it right away because this guy was a close friend to some of the people up in the guild. So, we stopped doing it. And plus, it was really bad. We probably could all get banned for it, but we enjoyed it while it lasted. Yeah. So that's the weirdest thing I've emoted.
I think the weirdest thing that I've emoted, and I think actually read, Extoferal is thoroughly enjoying the head you're giving him. okay, now get off of him. He's coming. That was the weirdest one, I would say. Definitely the weirdest.
All right, let's get to...
But the funnest.
Let's get to a couple other tweets. And then we have emails. Like, we're going to have another, 3-hour show tonight. Okay.
Big Brain also tweeted a response to my thing.
Yeah?
He said that the most he's gone out of his way to play WoW was he played it on his iPod Touch. Using that, whatever that program is where you can do that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's dedication.
He did it from work, so...
Well, now they have the app. I mean, at least you can manage the auctions. You can't do a daily on it, but, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, Dan Shadow says a tweet. Does anyone else miss Zul'Gurub, or is it just me?
I don't miss
it. I do.
I don't miss it yet because the new coat of paint the Cataclysm has brought is still very new, and I'm high on paint fumes in a way, I guess. I don't have the nostalgia thing going yet. I miss maybe doing the mount runs for the tiger, but I figure that Blizzard will put it back in another way at some point with different color armor.
I think they're probably going to make a new Zul'Gurub instance.
And that would be cool too, actually.
I just don't get it. Why did they have to remove it?
I don't know.
They axed 20 mans for a reason, because on Karaj 20 got turned into a 10. So yeah. They did something with 20 mans. For some reason, they had to take that out.
Must have been throwing off their whole heroic, non-heroic system or something. I don't know. But still, yeah. I'm a little disappointed.
Maybe it's a real
technical didn't understand why I had to go.
But I do think they're probably going to bring it back. I mean, there has to be another troll instance somewhere, right? I mean,
of course.
There's going to be new ones, so we'll see. Last tweet from FiDelt61. Topic of the week, dailies. They don't feel as tedious.
They don't.
I'm assuming that is what thing to do with another person. I'll tell you what, I've been doing the Tolbarad dailies with another other people. They're much easier. What?
I get it now. No, it's just I was totally off, and I'm, oh yeah, Rob's right. He's answering the topic of the week. It's meaning things to do with another
That's
person.
That's not a new topic of the week. Dailies, they don't feel as tedious. Discuss.
That's what I thought when I heard it. My brain is not working.
Are you giving us a topic? Yeah, thank you.
The peanut, neither a pea nor a nut.
Thoughts.
When we did a group of like four people doing the dailies last night in Tolbrad and just tore through them. You know, do you mm-hmm. you don't need four people, but boy, you can just rip right through it if you have more people, especially in some of the ones where you're like going down into the cave, the D block or the prison tomb or whatever. Just fly mm-hmm. by, you know, just rack up the kills real quick. No time. You don't even have to break to eat. It's great.
Awesome.
All right. How about emails?
Emails.
Dailies. Discuss. What do you think?
Dailies are fun to do with another person. Topic of the week.
We have an email from Flacco Jones. What a surprise.
What?
He's gone to the trifecta. He's on the damn show, sending us a tweet and an email. So, of course, I'm going to grill you. Do you even remember what you emailed us?
I don't. Was this on topic of the week?
Yes, it was 6 days ago, according to Gmail. Hordehousepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, this is Friday morning when I was listening to the show. Right. At work.
Xtfer and Kat were correct when they mentioned how fun it is to be a healer tank combo as a couple. So my other favorite thing to do as a couple is run battlegrounds. Whether it's guarding a node or keeping up defense in the flag room, it's nice to know the person next to you isn't going to leave you as that one player who gets stuck guarding something alone. Remember this now?
Mm-hmm.
There is also the issue of having your partners back in a fight. My roommate and I made Twink Hunters together back in the day of Classic WoW. Gee, this is the same story he just told us 5 minutes ago. No, I'm kidding.
But no, it's slightly different. But we did participate in this event. Go ahead.
And came up with our Cone of Death strategy. Back when dead zones were still a huge issue for hunters, a solo hunter could get gobbled up pretty quickly once someone got close at all. Not even as close as melee range. Mages could Frost Nova, for example, then stand in your dead zone and kill you while you just stood there looking like a moron, not able to shoot back or run away. The Cone of Death strategy was to stand side by side, about 10 yards apart, and always focus on one target in front of the two of us, ensuring that the target was basically wiped out because of the two hunters just unloading on them before they had a chance to get into our dead zone. The reason for the cone was for the rare occasion when somebody did get through. Since we stand out of each other's dead zones, when someone did get in range of one of us, the other would quickly turn and assist in removing the attacker. It worked very well for both of us as we each got up to the champion title without a lot of effort compared to our previous rogue and priest combo. P.S. Woo! I fucking violated the terms of service time and again to get that title.
I'm still going to get banned when I try to log on later on because Blizzard listens to this podcast. I'm like, ban that guy. Burn him.
You think that Blizzard would really listen to
that's
our podcast?
That's what happened to Ghost Crawler. He's just sitting there in anticipation of the latest Horde House. Like, oh, I can't
get away from Horde House.
I can't wait for Extifer to say something racist. Yay. All right.
And the whole time we played like that, we'd kill someone. Every time we kill someone using Cone of Death strategy, we'd be like, Cone of Death. Cone of Death. Cone of Death. Cone of Death.
Not racist.
I'm not racist, yo. Not racist.
Can I please read another email before you take this too far? All right.
I'm not racist. That's how they say it. That's how the black people say it.
When you say you're not racist, it's because there's a racist undertone there. You're like,
it's like when you say,
I'm not racist, but.
No, you know? I'm not.
I know you're not. You're
no,
not.
I love. Black
you love everybody equally.
I do.
You do. Too much, actually.
I guard some my wallet when I'm around.
Stop it.
God. No, I'm not. I'm not race. I love everybody. Everyone of every color. Every color in the rainbow. And you'll notice there's no black in the rainbow.
Stop it.
I guard my wallet around Extiver because you'll steal my Home Depot gift card.
No. I have tons of ethnic friends, so.
Do you feel better? Do you feel better?
Yeah.
All right.
I do.
Let's get to another email. Good Lord. How about from Gray Crow, an 83 orc hunter from Ravencrest? Hey, my old stomping grounds.
Hey.
Listen up, shitbags. For me, the easiest answer, this is, of course, the topic of the week, is, well, everything. There isn't a single thing in this game I would rather do solo over teaming up with someone else. It's probably the biggest reason I started and continue playing, from questing, grinding, even leveling professions. It's better to play with a group than with yourself. I don't know about that. one of my favorite things to do is every so often find, craft a piece of loot. Pick someone at random, they would benefit from it, and give it to them. I don't care if they can use it or sell it for pure profit. I remember the way it felt when it was done for me when I first started, and I've tried to keep that random act of kindness going. You're kind of like a dirty hippie. No, I'm kidding. that's all.
Hey, you're hippiest.
Maybe he plays
There's a lot of hippies out there.
Too. It's not.
I was playing on my Undead Hunter.
It's not that I'm hippiest, Extifer. It's just every time I walk by a hippie, I have to plug my nose. All right.
I was playing on my Undead Hunter, and I was in Tanaris, and I get a tell with the guy going like, "Hey, do you want the Widowmaker?" And he links it to me, and I was like, "Okay." He's like, "Yeah," because I was just gonna vendor it, so I'll mail it to you. And then sure enough, like 45 minutes later, I get the Widowmaker in my mailbox from a random, total random stranger. It was weird.
Wasn't it a long time ago, Rob, like when we were starting Vanilla, like somebody randomly came up to you and said, "Okay, I'm quitting WoW, and here's all of my gold." Do you remember that?
That happened in Final Fantasy XI.
Oh, I thought wow. That
yeah.
Wow.
Somebody ran up to me and said, "I'm quitting Final Fantasy XI, and here's all my crap," and I took it. I'm like, sweet.
That's crazy.
Actually, you know what? I did something similar when I quit. I just stood in front of the auction house and did the cry emote over and over, and the first person to comfort me, I gave all my gold.
Aww.
That's
really cool.
So,
yeah.
True story.
I'm going to do that in WoW.
All right.
So I'm going to quit again.
So Gray Crow continues. Are you okay with the fact that Gray Crow is gray?
I am very cool with that.
All right.
You're not graces?
All right.
No, not graces.
Good, because Gray Crow says, "Thanks for a great show, guys. I've enjoyed all but the first two episodes."
Oh, hey.
Because they were crap. No, he said, quote, which for some reason my phone won't play. And look forward to many more in the future. For the horde, bitches. Whatever.
Yeah. Rock on.
But we're cuddly. Hugging a lot. No,
when I did my
today.
Little... I made my little top 10 list that we're not going to get to hear, mm-hmm. It was really hard finding something from like the first episode.
Did you go to the pilot? Because you remember there was a pilot episode.
No, I didn't go to the pilot.
There was a pilot episode on Twitter. Only Twitter.
I should listen to that again and hear if there are any
There wasn't
on
anything
that.
Good in it. Don't worry. All right.
Yeah. I've heard it. I just don't remember it. So I guess there wasn't.
I'm going to totally mispronounce this name and I apologize in advance, but we have an email from Hayun, I think is the name. Hayun? I think is the name.
Hi,
Robin Extifer. I just discovered your podcast today. I always wonder what it would be like if Miss Coco Peru had a WoW podcast. Now I know. Girl, I don't know how to take that, girl. I don't know who this is. I actually don't know this person. Anyway, just wanted to say keep up the good work. Also, Extifer was wrong when he said that Blizzard buffed Alliance racials because new race had overpowered racials. They did it because Horde BGQs are much longer, and this is an incentive for people to faction change to try to even out the sides and to get some fat loot from our wallets along the way. As far as Tol Barad goes, it's not as bad as people make it out to be. On my server, Alliance has the numbers, so they dominate Wintergrass during... I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. They dominated Wintergrass during Wrath. Now that the numbers don't come into play in Tol Barad, Horde controls it 90% of the time, and I'm not exaggerating. The only time Alliance win it would be every other day at 4 a.m., but we always manage to take back when the Horde players come home from work and hold it for another 2 or 3 days straight. So it's not difficult. You just can't be special ed about it. Buys XOXO. It is seriously signed that way. Buys XOXO.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost track of this person's email after I heard Extifer was wrong.
I listened intently after I heard
I know,
Extifer
I was
wrong.
I was hanging on every word. I was
oh my
not,
God.
Actually, I know it's radio, but I was nodding going, fuck, he was wrong. He's always fucking wrong. You listen to this show?
You know what? You don't even know me.
Now, I've known you actually for like 6 or 7 years.
Shut up. Yeah, we're going to be literal now.
Well, what do you think of the point, though, about how the whole Tol Barad mechanics are different where, you know, it was more about people in Wintergrasp and now it's evened out. So the Horde being more skilled on this particular server, not my server, this particular server, 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm. What do I think about that?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's cool. Whatever.
I agree.
Yeah.
And the podcaster of the year award goes to Extifer from the Horde House podcast for his insight and value that he brings to the show every week.
Hey, I have some value I want to bring right now. Are you in the mood for a random Extifer and Rob story? That has absolutely nothing to do
with
it.
We're about to cross the 2-hour mark, and I got 3 emails to go. That's all I'm saying.
Then I'll take that as a yes. Hey, you remember when we first met, or like one of the times we first met, and we went and saw Kill Bill Volume 2?
I love Kill Bill, yeah.
Yeah, and a random rat like ran across the theater. Remember that?
Yes, that was just. I do remember that. That was disgusting because that was out in. Okay, there's this town out in the. We're in the Sacramento, California region. I don't know if we ever said that on the show, but there's a town, a suburb here, Roseville, which is just it's so stuck up. And I can say that because I was born and raised there, and everybody there is stuck up except me. I love everybody, but it was at the Hoity Toity Theater, one of the new brand new Hoity Toity theaters. And we're out there and we're watching Kill Bill. Eating our popcorn, look down, there's a mouse, rat, big old thing running by. And they're like, this is supposed to be like the nice theater that overcharges for their stadium seating, which, you know, used to be the big deal before everything was IMAX and 3D.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. You would think that it would be a better maintenance there, but no.
That wasn't as good of a story as I thought it would be, actually.
I guess
the random rat, that was cool. It reminded me of in WoW, there's rats running around.
Yeah, there. See, we full circle is what I meant to bring to that.
And the
best
transition in any podcast ever in the history.
You know what? I love Kill Bill, and I loved Vernita Green. She was black, so hey, I'm not racist. She was awesome until she died.
She was. That whole movie was just badass, though. Yeah. Honestly,
really though, black people are better than white people. I mean, what do we have to bring to the table? We don't have big dicks.
Can I please read an email before you get us banned?
I'm sorry.
With your big ass.
I'm going off track.
All right. Email from Peaker Uno. This week's been especially exciting for me as I finally started playing Cataclysm properly. Very fun, very impressed. Can't wait to see Oldham, which you've been praising a lot on the show. It's great. For the topic of the week, awesome. Some of the best times I've had regarding WoW were actually spent out of the game. Back in 2007, when I was living in Japan, I was taking a hiatus from WoW because of time problems, but a very good friend of mine was still actively playing and progressing raiding Burning Crusade content. At least once a week, we'd meet up for dinner, where he'd tell me all about his week's raids in detail, almost crafting a tale out of all his adventures. He'd recall the environments, the bosses, the tactics, the ridiculous things his guild had to do to overcome the, back then, incredibly tough fights. And it was all incredibly entertaining because I could never see that content. Hearing about it from a friend in a tale-like fashion was the next best thing, and it helped rekindle my interest in the game. And then we went back to his apartment and made sweet, sweet love all night long.
I think you embellished on that
a little bit. It's what I was seeing in my head. We'd meet up.
We just want to see what he writes on the
at least
blog.
Once a week, we'd meet up for dinner over candles. And he'd tell me all about his week's raids in detail. Every detail. I'm just kidding. We're so good. He's never going to email us again. There was more to the email, but he said we probably don't want to read it on the show because it's about – he emailed us last week saying, I don't know if I want to be in the guild anymore type of thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
He gets into a little bit of detail, and I don't know if it's advertised on our show. But basically It comes down to social guild versus raiding guild. I want to raid their social kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually,
that's
no,
always
the
case.
He's saying that he's because of job and stuff, he can't commit all the time to raiding.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Let's go to this email from, Twisted Sheik. I go by Twisted Sheik on my 82 Ally Mage, and I found your podcast while searching through iTunes. And after listening to all the episodes while I was at my job from 5 a.m. to 1 p.m., I never fell asleep or anything, so I would like to say good job. I'll be letting people know I know about this podcast, and one of them works for Game by Night, so maybe I can get some plugs for you. Well, thank you. We like free plugs. Here are some of my thoughts. Class fix for mages. Please fix Arcane and also fix how Mastery works for this spec. Mana Adept is no good. Mastery for every spec is kind of meh right now, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a couple have really good ones, but they've been talking about kind of making Mastery a little more interesting across the board, right?
Well, I mean, I know in the case of Balance and Resto Druids, they buff Mastery in the next patch. I didn't really read what's going on with the other classes, but that's something that I was like, oh, interesting. Well,
I know with Arcane Mages, they're lowering the mana cost of a lot of their spells in the next patch, but they didn't say anything about the Mastery talent or points or whatever you call that.
Well, I guess that in a way helps Arcane because they really kind of struggle anyway, so...
Topic of the week, best thing to do in WoW with another person, answer, go on a killing spree against the other faction to take out some leveling and
concession.
Yeah, but if you're not on a PvP server, that's a lot harder to do.
Yeah. Right. You can kill all their quest givers.
Now, going back to episode 5 in this email, and since it is our 10th gala episode, anniversary mm-hmm. special landmark achievement show, we can take a look back. And we're going to take a look back at episode 5. The topic of the week was thing I wish had happened in the Cataclysm that didn't.
That was a show I was on.
He says, Raid Finder. Something on this should be included for those who didn't have access to a good or just a guild in general. That's true. They don't have Looking for Raid yet. But
you know, I agree with that. I thought it was so weird that they came out with Dungeon Finder, random, but they wouldn't do random Raid Finder. And I guess it's because of lockouts and everything, but it sounds like they've kind of fixed that. So,
Dude, Jim, like, people are elitist and jerks and kick now. Can you imagine what Raid Finder's going to do? I mean, really?
I just feel like every once in a while I'd get one done.
Yeah.
Let's
go. Well, you know, I mean, maybe they'll introduce it as the content progresses, you know, and that maybe they'll make it so that the earlier raids in the same tier will be, you'll be able to do that because they won't be as hard. But I don't know.
That's what I really wanted to do with it, run other stuff, but.
Yeah. Like, you know, at the end of Wrath of the Lich King, you know, Naxxramas probably would have been, you know, cool to been able to queue for it because you would have still got justice points.
And it was really hard to get groups for those things. And they were like face roll at that point. So,
yeah.
Finishing up this email. Now I play on 2 servers. My first is Agewin and I can't find guilds for my life, but I also play my troll Shammy on Emerald Dream and I belong to a really good social guild called Happy Fun Guys. And they are great help when you need it and always ready to do some runs. Well, that's not just a clever name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're actually happy and fun and they are
probably guys. Mostly guys. There you go.
Yeah.
But you know,
ones that say they're
even are. Well, even if they're girls, you know, sometimes you use guys as plural. Hey guys, what's up? Even though there's girls there, so yeah. It's not just a clever name. So it seems my troll, who is only level 70 at the moment, will be seeing more of the cat endgame content before my 82 mage. What is everybody who listens to this show plays Horde? Like, I realize the show is called Horde House, but surely there's some curious alliance players, or maybe somebody got the joke why it's called Horde House.
I think that, you know, because they're still like all like 12 and 13, they can't log on yet and listen to the show.
Exactly.
Someday they'll get old enough.
Cuddly and fun,
and listen
Jim.
To the show.
Someday, when they reach level 100, you know, at that point they'll have been playing since they were 5. So.
All right, we have a huge email from Huge Brain. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Whoa. Greetings, Rob and X. My thoughts on the topic mentioned in the last show is this. I wish I had an actual opportunity to mention something wonderful and wow I enjoy doing with another person. There are so many. I have never had a significant other that played alongside me, and my wife absolutely loathes even a mention of the game. I can see why you've escaped a podcast, because you can just plug in those little earbuds and then, like, you know, did you do the dishes yet? Just round out with our lovely voices, telling dick and fart jokes and talking about wow.
Yeah.
I've been playing since inception, except for a small period of time where I was away at an academy. I enjoy farming secondary professions with other people and running my guild kids through lower level dungeons. Pugging at the current level is currently something I only do once a day, if that. This leads to my main thought for this email. I believe that the current mix of players is so far at either end of the skill, dedication, noob, casual player spectrum that it is ruining a lot of WoW sessions for a lot of players. I have an example as of last night of this, so this is not a topic in which I wish to bitch about at length. So here's the long and short of it. I was in Grim Patrol Normal last night after the daily queue popped, and I was playing my Enhancement Shaman. The group looks to have lost a DPSer immediately when they got into the dungeon, and I was the replacement. We started rolling towards the dragons at the beginning of the dungeon, and I could see that we were not going to be using any CC as of yet, and the tank wasn't marking but face pulling. This is all well and good usually, but the tank didn't seem to be able to hold much threat even when I gave him 5 seconds on each pull. The tank was a pally, so I figured he was just stumbling through dungeons and gearing up, as most of WoW people are at this point, so I cut him some slack and didn't say anything while managing my threat well as per usual. I was running recount, and it showed that I was doing about 8,200 DPS overall. This was at least 2,500 DPS better than the next guy down on the list. I pointed out a few line of sight areas for the tank, and it seemed to be well received. I also healed the tank through an entire pull after the healer got one-shotted and we did not wipe. He's just talking himself up. He's like God's gift to WoW. No, I'm kidding. I know.
I'm the greatest player ever.
Here's the end of the email. Basically, this was the issue. We wiped just after the second boss because the tank didn't wait for the healer to recover his mana following the boss fight, so we were all running back. I came in and hopped on a Drake, as I usually do, but forgot we didn't clear the proper mobs yet. This was a stupid mistake, and I didn't make any others. I quickly ghost rode back to the entrance and got in Ghost Wolf and headed back. The portrait showed that they started pulling immediately, and I wasn't back yet. The next thing I knew, I got removed from the dungeon. This made me furious. Gosh. I was like, what the fuck? There is, or it said WTF, but I said it, what the fuck?
We have that's what that means?
Well, we have an explicit tag. No, it means what the fart.
So it was why the face. Okay.
There is nothing more frustrating than getting removed from a dungeon when it seems like you're the only one doing the right things. What are your thoughts on this, and does this make you angry as I was when it happens to you? Thanks for your reply via episode 10, and I look forward to downloading it. So,
see, I've done that to my group by accident, but luckily I was in a pug, so they were all like, oh, it's okay. We know you're just crazy, and you just face pulled and then had to run back. So
yeah, but you didn't kick the one DPSer who knew like how to jump in and heal at in a pinch and manage
their- I know. I'm saying that we were understanding, so I feel really bad for him.
Yeah, I mean, I give the emailer a hard time for talking himself up in the email, but in the reality, the point he's trying to make is, hey, why did they kick me when I was the only one that seemed to be kind of reasonable with what I was doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of stupid they did that.
It's terrible. This is why
people have short
like one mistake and you're out. Like yeah. I wouldn't be able to survive.
People have
seconds.
Short-term memory in this game, you know, like they, you know, one poll, they might love you. And then the next poll, they're like, who the fuck are you?
And that's another product of the random dungeon finder. Cause that's something that I don't think would have happened. Like when we were running pugs in Burning Crusade with people from the server, cause you're going to see them again.
Yeah.
You know what?
And you build a reputation.
Yeah. Maybe they ought to start being a negative for abusing the vote to kick feature. Like, you know, I'm sure we talked about this at length in previous episodes and so forth. But maybe like, you know, use it once for free. But the second time you want to use it, it's going to cost everybody in your party 15 gold and then 30 gold or something. You know, there's got to be some type of consequence to abusing this feature, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like,
so you really only use it when it's important to use. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
treat it like a respecking.
But I do agree.
I've never had to kick anybody in randoms, but I've been playing 85. So
I do agree with the fact that just like everybody just needs to like start being more patient with each other.
I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I think that a lot of people are like we said earlier, they're new to the game. They're either coming back or they're, you know, they were spoiled by Wrath. You know, I'm a lot more easygoing than other people that I know that play the game when it comes to people in dungeons. Like the other day we had a tank that was really low health, and I think the first instinct from a lot of people is like, okay, let's wait 15 minutes and then kick him or whatever, you know. But I think that you really have to give some of these people a chance. This person, you know, had never run a heroic before. They said it was their first heroic, you know. We were all in that same position, too, before. So, I mean, it's one of those, you know, let's not forget where we came from type things.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Remind ourselves that we used to be in that area and we needed help before. So, hey, why don't we just actually give the benefit of the doubt to this person? Granted, you know, he did make some really dumbass mistakes and we did kick him later on. But, I mean, that's beside the point.
We gave him a chance.
We did. We gave him a chance. I mean, we gave him a really fair chance, but he really did become really stupid.
I think if you explain, you can't assume everybody knows everything. And I think you should give everyone the shot of explaining it once in detail. Mm-hmm. And if they still fail and don't want to do it, then kick them. That's, you know, I give everybody one shot, you know, to fix a mistake because that's the only way you're going to learn. But then if you just, you're bullheaded and you don't want a sap, you don't want a sheep or whatever, then, you know, girl, bye. You know, that's it.
Bye-bye, loser.
So, but I can see where that's infuriating, and obviously where the emailer's pissed off because it's like, you know, he gave everybody else a break, but nobody gave him a break. Right. And that is fucked up. And if Blizzard had a cross-server friends list, I'd put you on my list so that way you could heal my ass when I'm being a dumbass, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
So that's it for emails.
Woo-hoo! Oh my God, it's been like...
Email bag.
It's been like no time at all. It feels like it was just
2 hours
actually,
ago. Horde House Podcast.
I feel like it's been 2 hours.
At gmail.com if you want to send us some emails. That brings us to the end of the show. We are done. We're ready to wrap up our very special 10th episode. So Yay. Thank you guys for staying with us for these 10 long
thank
weeks.
You.
And here's to 10 more.
You're welcome.
Here's to 10 more and only 10 more. And then I'm done. I'm just kidding.
Yes. Only 10 more.
Going to retire on top like Seinfeld.
Exactly. I think this will be the last episode of Horde House. You know, we got to quit while we're ahead. You know? No, I'm kidding. We'll be back next week, of course, as always. So unless anybody else has any other thoughts to get out there, I guess we could go around and get everybody's final thoughts. And Flacco Jones, a.k.a. Jim, a.k.a. Exifer's brother-in-law, reason why he's number one fan. I'll start with you. What's your final thought tonight? Thanks for being
my final thought is I love my beautiful wife, and I'm glad she's spending time with the baby tonight. I feel horrible that I've been neglecting him. I won't ever do it again. No, I'll be on the show again, maybe.
That's really awesome. You should do Cubs Win.
Oh, yeah. You guys said I was going to do this, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Cubs Win. Hey guys, what do you think about this podcast? I think it's fantastic. Horde House wins.
I love it.
Okay, sure.
It's really an impression of Will Ferrell doing an impression of Harry Carey.
It kind of. I was gonna say you sound more like Will Ferrell when he's
because I like his because Harry Carey didn't sound
Norm.
He didn't sound like anything. Now he's dead. Hey Norm.
So funny.
My final thought is please keep the kind reviews on iTunes coming and spreading the word and all that stuff. You guys have actually helped us come a long way in just 10 short episodes as far as like expanding the listener base and all that, and we really appreciate the support. You guys are awesome, so we'll keep doing this for you as long as you guys are enjoying it.
Yes, again.
So Extifer, what's your final thought?
My final thought is I love everybody. And I totally, regardless of your race, you know, nationality, whatever, I love you. I believe the children are our future. Let them lead the way. I don't know what the words are. But yeah, I think that you know, if you are other than white, you know, you can be one of our presidents. Obviously, we have Barack Obama to prove that point. I just would like to...
I just want to remind you, right, I want the listeners to come back next week, so please...
You should have given your final thought last.
I'd like to take a moment right now to just pray, to tell everybody, I love you. Dear Jesus, I love you, everybody. And that's it.
Amen is what you're supposed to say at the end.
Oh, amen. I'm sorry. It's been a while since I went to church.
Because you'd burn up the minute you walk through the door.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's it. We're done. We're out of here. Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll see you next week for more crazy antics here on Horde House. Good night, everybody.
Bye.